All right. Lord bless everyone here, all the way from the front row, all the way to the back row. God's Spirit just anoint us, changes, and everybody in between, that's right. Well, this morning, I've been hearing some things in the last week or so that I think are really important for us, and it's part of what God is doing in this season, and it's part of the revival. I've never really seen it quite this way. When we think of revival, we normally think of the power of God being activated. You know, revival, there's healings, there's miracles, and I'm 110% for that and more of that. We need that. But the problem is, when we view revival simply through those eyes, God can heal our bodies, He can heal our emotions, He can bless us till we're laughing and shaking. It doesn't necessarily mean that we grow spiritually. But part of the revival that we're in now is God restoring rest, spiritual rest to His people. You think, well, that doesn't sound like something I want to jump up and down about. We need the rest of the Lord. Because spiritual rest does mean spiritual growth. Spiritual rest is a place where the Holy Spirit is free to move within us. And it's about renewing our minds to be aware of how God sees things, to be able to see with His eyes. Amen. So part of this revival that we're a part of and we're believing for has to do with an awareness, a change of awareness. Our eyes being open to see things we've never seen before. Seeing up through God's perception. And we can only have that perception from a place of rest. The scripture says we strive to enter the rest of the Lord. And normally when we talk about striving, we don't use it in a positive way. But there are positive applications. Sometimes faith is a striving, a persistence. But why is it to strive to enter into rest? It's because spiritual rest is not natural for us. Now, rest, sleep is natural. I wish some of us get more of it. But the human body, it's natural to fall asleep at some point. But spiritual rest is not something our senses are in tune to. Everything about our natural life, the way that we think, the way that we relate, the way the world impacts us, causes striving and unrest. We're constantly fighting for things. And at times you just have to say, well, we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Right. And we recognize that as we're in this world, we're not of it. And we fight with speaking the word of God, prophesying, praying with a thankful attitude. These are tools that God has given us to use. It's part of our inheritance. But do we recognize that God has called us to do all these things from a place of rest? We're not to be under the futility of the age. And a lot of the frustration we experience is because of religion. It has nothing to do with God's Spirit within us. God is bringing a revival where He's going to lift the load off of His people that doesn't belong on their shoulders. And His people are going to know rest. Amen. Remember what the Israelites, when they came to the promised land, they could relate to God on that level, God giving them a promise and fighting for that promise. But it says in Hebrews, and we're going to read from Hebrews in a little bit, that they failed to enter the rest of the Lord. They found the land, they found the promise, but there was something missing in their relationship with God. There therefore remains a rest for the people of God. I don't think we've resolved the issue. We're very oriented to having promises fulfilled, and that is a good thing. But we need to also be oriented in our thinking and our desire that we need to be at a place of rest in the Lord. Rest means ceasing from our own labors. What does that mean? That we don't work? Well, no. We're to use the gifts we've been given. We're to use the talents He's given us. We're to be led by the Spirit. This all requires action. Your faith is to be active. Ceasing from our own labors has to do more with the motivation of why we're doing what we're doing. It deals with two specific areas. One is when we're working from a place and trying to make a name for ourselves, trying to be important, trying to feel more significant. In other words, fear is motivating our activity. Or we're moving from a place of we're working to gain God's favor. That is the strife that needs to end with us. That's what comes from religion. Ceasing from your own labor means you're not working to gain God's favor, because from a place of rest, you know you have His favor, and the works flow out of that. So this burden of God is never quite pleased with us, that's the laboring that God wants to end. That's the laboring that ends with His rest. So to be in the rest of God means we don't labor with the religious spirit any longer. We're free to be led by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians somewhere, it says, we are seated with Him in heavenly places. What a powerful scripture. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. How often in our day are we walking around aware of being seated with Jesus Christ our Lord? We're fighting things, right? There's oppression out there. The world's a mess. God's got to change and restore things. And so much going on. We're fighting to survive. We're fighting to be spiritual. We somehow see ourselves as human beings trying to be spiritual, where God looks at us and says, you're spiritual beings living out a human experience. So where's the battle? It's for awareness. God looks and sees us as seated with His Son in heavenly places. Now, if you're seated, how much striving is going on? That's a place of rest. But being seated with Him is when we can activate His authority. That vision in Ezekiel about speak to the dry bones and come alive, that's still good. That promise is upon us. Amen. We're to speak the life of God into the dryness of this age and see God bring to life people that have been dormant and dead spiritually. God bringing revival and reviving the entire planet, restoring what is His. But what place of awareness do we have when we're speaking His word? Are we striving to see something happen that we're just frustrated hasn't happened? Are we seated with Christ, realizing that He has won the victory? And all we have to do is let the Holy Spirit just express that victory through our lives. Rest. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Actually, Hebrews 3 and 4 are good to read together. I'm not going to read both chapters because I think that you might take the rest a little too literally if I go that far. And I do not want to hear snoring out there, okay? But Hebrews 4 from the Message Bible, if you could bear with me, this just came alive to me. Hebrews 4, it says this, for as long then as that promise of resting in Him pulls on us to God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. We receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience that state of resting, but not if we don't have faith. Remember that God said they'll never get where they're going. They'll never be able to sit down and rest. So we find it's the unbelief the Israelites had that caused all that striving. Do we realize that at the core of our frustration and, you know, not knowing God's love for us and trying to gain His favor, trying to work our way into spirituality, what's at the core of all that? It's unbelief. We don't believe God's love for us. When you're seated with Jesus, you're in a place where the favor of God is just resting on you. You know God loves you as you are. There's nothing to strive for there. But the Israelites refused a relationship with God. They didn't want to go to the mountain and worship God. They just wanted the promise. The problem is, even when God fulfills His word for us, if we don't have the relationship, we won't have the rest. And if we don't have the rest, we won't know God's love for us. And ultimately, what good is the promise if we don't know the promiser? God made the vow, even though He'd finished His part before the foundation of the world, God rested on the seventh day. See, He says about this promise of rest has not been fulfilled. The earlier ones did not get to that rest because they were disobedient. And it goes on saying the same thing. I'm going down a few verses. Again, this is a Message Bible, so it's going to be hard if you don't have that to follow. But you can read the fourth chapter later. And so this is still a live promise. It wasn't canceled at the time of Joshua. Otherwise, God wouldn't keep renewing the appointment for today. The promise of arrival and rest is still there for God's people. God himself is at rest. And at the end of the journey, we'll surely rest with God. So let's keep at it and eventually arrive at the place of rest, not drop out through some sort of disobedience. Beautiful. God is at rest. Why do we need to find spiritual rest? That's where God is. And if we're to abide in him and be aware of him, that's our state. Remember Mary and Martha. I think in our natural beings, we can relate very well to Martha, more to Martha than Mary. At least I can. You know, keep busy. Jesus is coming. Oh, wonderful. That's what we want. We want Jesus in our house. Let's see what we can do to make him the best meal possible. Well, Jesus wasn't coming to Mary and Martha's house to eat a meal. He wasn't coming to be impressed by them. He was coming to share the Father with them. And somehow Mary's awareness was different than Martha's. Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. Jesus looked and said, "You're so anxious. You're trying so hard. It's not that difficult." Mary's chosen the better part. What was Mary doing? Resting, listening at his feet. When we're at rest, our spiritual ears are most open to hear the voice of the shepherd. Now, if we read down from this rest, it says in verse 12, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. Now, this is all in context of what Paul's writing here in this fourth chapter. When we're in rest is when the word of God is most effective at working in us. The word of God is to be like a surgeon's scalpel. In other words, it's to slice and dice, cut out what needs to be cut out, separate what needs to be separated. It's to go to the very core of our being and change the motivations of our heart. It's to lay everything bare. What are we talking about there? To live honest lives, transparent. Okay, we can't do that ourselves. God's word is living, accomplishes that. But as long as we're striving in a religious way, we're working against the power of the word. We're saying yes to God's word with our mouth, and yet our very actions and our religious nature is resisting the effectiveness of his word in our life. When we're at rest, his word can be to us what it's meant to be, living and powerful. And then we can become completely open before him. And a state of rest is when you can become transparent and you don't run away from it. Why? Because you know you're seated with Christ and it's a safe place. And you can be honest and open. If we're not aware we're seated with Christ, we're afraid of exposure. We're afraid because we feel shame. The enemy's lying, trying to condemn us. But being seated with Christ, there's no voice of condemnation in that realm. The last verses, two verses of the chapter, says, now that we know we have Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Okay, again, this is combined with rest. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus knows exactly everything you feel. Exactly. There isn't an ounce of condemnation that flows from him to you because of you being human or human failure. He's there with mercy, ready to help. When we're at rest, It sounds strange, but that's when we can be the boldest. That's when we can come before God and be most real and come before Him and say, God, I need Your mercy. Instead of hiding from His presence, we embrace His presence. Rest gives us that boldness because we know that God's intent is good. We know that His presence is goodness for our lives. Let me just read a few more verses and we'll close. Jeremiah, Isaiah, you know, again, I didn't have chance to go through and research this, but I think it's Jeremiah talks, 6:16 says, and find rest for your souls. The rest of the Lord is spiritual rest, but it's to give us rest for our soul, spirit, I mean, it's our minds, emotions, our bodies, our being. Matthew 11:28, we're all familiar with this one. All you who labor, heavy laden, come to me, I'll give you rest. Again, we read that last word I brought. I can't get away from that scripture. The burdens of life can be so cumbersome, and we're trying to always figure them out and work them out. And Jesus said, I just want you to dump them. You don't need to figure everything out. Come to me and find rest. That's where your destiny is, to be seated with me in heavenly places. Exodus 33:4. God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. What does it mean to be in the presence of God? Going with the presence of God, it means that we're going to have rest. Amen. There's a few more I could read to you, but what do we do as far as coming into this rest? What is this striving? Don't get frustrated with your lack of rest. Just want it. Realize that it's your inheritance before God, in God. One second. Psalm 32:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Be still before the Lord. That's the striving. Coming out of that natural state of being the Martha, just being still before Him and saying, God, rest is Your promise. It's part of my inheritance in You. Bring rest to my soul. Isaiah 14:3, when the Lord has given you rest from your pain, turmoil, hard service, which you were made to serve, then the oppressor will cease. When the Lord has given you rest from your pain. See, God looks at our human state. He doesn't say life will be without pain. He says, I'll give you rest. There's another place where you can dwell in your awareness. He doesn't take us out of the world. But to be not of the world means we're seated with Christ in that place of rest. That's where we're to function and dwell. Carolyn?
I just wanted to add a little bit.
Come on up so we can get here.
For me, when I rest, I need to trust. And I need to believe in who God has said I am. We are His sons and daughters. We are the apple of His eye. Part of the key to the rest is believing what He says and in His goodness. For me, anyway, as an overachiever, this is really good. I believe You, Lord, and I enter into Your rest as who You have said I am. And I listen to no one else. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of voices out there that will tell you who you are and what you should be doing. And no, I listen to my Father. I'm His daughter. I'm His son. I do what I see Him do. I say what I see, what I hear Him say.
Thank you. As you're coming up, Fred, and I'm this is continued to record. So I wanted to add with the Israelites, you know, you think about the problem they had with going into the promised land. It was an issue of trust, wasn't it? Even though they saw God's power working for them all those years and the miracle of the Red Sea, they didn't trust God's motivation for their lives. They didn't trust that God loved them and that He was really with them. And that's the awareness that comes from truly resting in Him. God can bless us with a miracle every day. It doesn't mean we're going to trust Him. Amen. Yeah, come on up, Fred, and hold on to this.
One thing that allows me to rest is that I really, truly, truly believe Romans 11:28. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. It seems like it eliminates the debate, and if I'm in a situation or a circumstance that's just uncomfortable or it's creating a lot of fear for me, and fear is a big thing, it's like if I say that over and over to myself, and sometimes I have to be redundant and repetitive with this stuff, or it just seems like it rolls off me and doesn't want to take, and it's maybe just aspect of my IQ, I don't know. Anyway, but Romans 11:28 seems to give me the peace to enable me to move into that rest. And it's just, if I look at my circumstance, I go, okay, all things, you said, God, all things work together for good. So I'm believing you, and it gives me that peace that I can, again, move forward in terms of what David was talking about. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Fred. Lord, bless the word to our hearts this morning. Father, we recognize within our core our need for the rest that only you can give. Jesus, we come to you right now. We're willing to part with those back-breaking burdens of religion, the things that we carry that you're not in. And we ask you, Jesus, give us the rest, the awareness of where we really are, where we're seated, who we're really with. Father, the rest that we can have your sight and your perspective as we walk this earthly journey, we can live truly in two realms. We can be aware of spiritually where we dwell. Father, your presence being ever with us and moving through us. Amen.